Amen to that. My goodness, that is just awesome. Praise God for the opportunity that we have to come and to worship with one another and to experience Spirit-led moments like that. So praise God for Emmanuel and the gifts of the worship team. It's good to be the church. Well, many of you, as you walked in tonight, you're given a leaf, and you're wondering, what's up with the leaves? I don't know what's going on with the leaves, but we'll leaf that for later, so we'll get to it later. See, you guys laughed. Earlier today, I did that in our chapel service, and nobody laughed. And I thought, you know what? I'm trying the hardest that I can. I spent 3 days trying to come up with a sermon, and I spent 4 days trying to come up with a joke. And they didn't laugh at my joke. But if you have to say a joke and tell people it's a joke, then it's not funny. So thanks for laughing. You absolutely made my night. But we'll get to that. You're like, oh my goodness, he said something funny. That's amazing. I'll get away from that. That's all I have. We'll see you. Amen. Good night. Have a great week. But we're continuing on in this worship, this sermon series that we've been doing for the last 5 weeks called Back to School. But this is in the midst of this theme for 2014. And it's good to go back to this. It's good to remind ourselves. Or maybe you're new to worshiping here with us at Lutheran Church of Hope. But for 2014, and we're 9 months through it. Can you believe we're 3/4 of the way through the year? It goes so fast. So for 9 months, we've been talking about roots and renewal, about how do we experience renewal? And what is it that we sink our roots into? What's the rich soil? What's the truth? What's God calling us to be? And so in doing that, we've talked about a lot of incredible things. And if you've missed any of them, you can always go back. And you can go back on hopeonline.tv. You can watch any sermon that's been given here at Hope and to kind of make your way through. But tonight, what we're going to talk about is what Sandy read in the Bible reading, Paul's letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 12. And we're going to talk about discovering what God's plan for my life truly is, which is a question I believe a lot of us have. We intellectually, we can say, you know what? I believe in God. I think God's a good thing. I believe in the message of faith. I believe in Jesus. I want this to be a part of my life. But as for trying to figure out what my part is, what my role is, what responsibilities? How am I supposed to know what I'm doing? How do I figure out what God's calling me to? How do I discover my plan? That's what we're talking about tonight. And for any of you who know me, who've been around me for a while, when you hear even the Bible reading, 1 Corinthians 12, you may roll your eyes and say, here he goes again. He's going to get into it again. He's going to start squatting a lot. He's going to do that whole thing. Because this is one of my greatest passions. Discovering what God's created us to do. Just after the scripture passage that Sandy read for us, there's this part in Paul's letter to the Corinthians where he talks about how God has created our physical bodies, our human bodies. God's created them on purpose for a purpose, and every single part of our body is placed exactly where it is for a reason. And it's not an accident. That we have, you know, he talks about hands and feet, and they both are important. They're both necessary to the body. He talks about noses and ears, that each have a different function, but they contribute to the whole. That each part of our body has been placed there, has been created in such a way to bring life to the whole. And without a part of the body's at a deficit. The body's at a place of dis-ease. So it is with the body of Christ. And there are certain parts of our bodies that might not be as noticeable. Doesn't mean they're any less part of the body, does it? They're incredibly important. 27 years ago, when I was 9 years old, 28 years ago, 9 years old, up until that point in my life, if you would have asked me as a fifth grader what a pancreas did, I would have had no clue. I never thought about my pancreas. I'd thought a lot about my biceps because they're enormous, but I hadn't thought about my pancreas. But then I was diagnosed as type 1 diabetic. Never been in our family. And for the last 28 years, I've thought a lot about how important that thing is. And because my pancreas, for whatever reason, doesn't work, it quit working, spent my whole life having to accommodate for it, to make up for it. My body, yes, it functions, and I thank God for the gifts of science and medicine that allow me to live a life that you wouldn't ever know that I was diabetic. But because of that, my body is at a place of dis-ease. Not every part is doing what every part should do. And some of you have your own things physically that you deal with, and you know what I'm talking about. And Paul says, so it is with the body of Christ. So it is with the people who have been transformed, who have been called by Jesus Christ. Every single part of the body is essential to the whole. Every part, regardless of whether you think it's important or not, that you have a part to play in God's story. God has created you. That when you're still in your mother's womb, he knit you together even in those places. He had a plan for you. That plan is good, and it's for abundance, and it's to be a part of what he's doing in this world and bringing people back into a relationship with him. So Paul writes to the people in Corinth to remind them. But it's important to remember that when Paul's writing this letter to the people in Corinth, he's writing it for a reason. Paul's not sitting down in his study one day thinking, hey, I want to write a book of the Bible today. No. Paul's writing a letter to an actual group of people. This church that's developed in this place called Corinth. And this church had been following. They'd been following what they thought they were supposed to do. But somewhere along the way, as the people in Corinth were trying to figure out how they were going to be the body of Christ, they had gotten off just one degree. They weren't being malicious. They weren't being angry. But they had kind of lost their way. They had kind of lost their direction a little bit. So Paul recognizes it and reminds them that when you've gotten off just one degree at the beginning, it might not seem like much has changed. But the longer you go, the greater that divide becomes. If you're not careful, you might get to a place where you might not even recognize who you are any longer. Just reminded of this. When I did youth ministry, we started a leadership development program. We wanted to give our students the opportunity, if they selected, if they self-identified to say, you know what, I want to learn more about leadership. I want to learn what it takes to be a leader. I want to learn some of the gifts, some of the skills, the way in which I can lead wherever I find myself. We wanted to help those students to live in to those gifts. And so we developed this leadership curriculum. And we made it kind of hard for the kids, not hard, difficult, but we wanted them to, they had to apply for it. They had to fill out this application. They had to write an essay for it. We really wanted to weed them out. You know, they had to write down like 300 words. They needed to have references for it. So when they went through all that, they were entered into this program. And kind of the highlight of the leadership program was a trip that they would get to go on. It'd be about 10 students a year. And the trip that we would take them on was a canoeing and portaging trip up into the Boundary Waters. The Boundary Waters is in kind of north, central Minnesota. It's a beautiful area. So we take these students for a week. And for a week, they would have to leave everything behind. No technology. It was something called no trace camping. And no trace camping meant that everything that you brought in with you, you had to bring out with you. Everything that they needed to live on for a week, they literally had to carry on their backs. And as we would spend a week out in the woods, we'd give them opportunities to learn different things about leadership. We also went through an outfitter. We had a guide that would lead us that week. And each day, the guide would teach them how to physically lead in the situation that they had found themselves in. One of the things that the guide would teach them is how to do some orienteering, how to directionally be able to find out where they were going. So they would get a compass and a map. And the guide would start to tell them, you know, here's how you find your direction. Here's how you set your mark. Here's how you follow your mark. And about day 5 of the trip, we actually let the kids put it into practice. So we would all get in our canoes. And one student would sit in the canoe with the guide, And the guide would give them the map and say, tell me where you want to go. And they would pick a point where they wanted to go. And then the guide would say, you lead us. You tell us how to get there. And we're all following you. And that's terror. To let a 16-year-old guide you, my goodness. And the 16-year-old would kind of set their mark. They would start to go. And they continue to go. And even if they're off the mark, the leader, the guide, would let them continue on that way. Some time would go by, and finally the guide would tell them to stop. Pull out the map. Tell me where you think that we are. Student would point, okay, I'm certain that we're right here. And oftentimes they were like a mile away from it. So the guide would say, no, we're not here. This is actually where we are. And the student would say, well, how did I get so far off track? And it was often by missing it by one degree. So what's happened in the Corinthian church? There was something that was taking place. And what was taking place is that there were a group of people who were following God, who had recognized that God had given them gifts and given them abilities, but they were using their gifts and abilities in such a way that it wasn't building up the body of Christ. In fact, they were maximizing who they were, and they were minimizing who others were. And it had caused a division. So this church was in conflict. So Paul writes to him. He writes to him and says they need to get back on course. They need to get back to the center, to what God had called them to do. And if they wouldn't, that there was going to be further division. There were going to be further problems that would develop. So Paul writes to him concerning these gifts God was doing. Paul is telling him that each one of them, there's something about each one of them that's vitally important to the whole. But it wasn't about them, which I think as a church is the mistake we sometimes can fall into. Sometimes, maybe it's just a cultural thing, but sometimes we start to discover what comes naturally to us. And so in that, we start to think it's all about us. And if I can do this, then everybody's going to notice me. But it's not about us. It's not why God's given us the gifts that he's given us. It's about what he's doing in this world. It's interesting. All the way back in John's gospel, John chapter 3, there's a man by the name of John the Baptist who had been sent into the world. He'd been sent into the world to point people to Jesus Christ. That John was sent into the world to tell people to turn around, that they were going the wrong direction and they needed to turn around because the Savior of the world was going to come onto the scene, and if they didn't turn around, that they might miss the whole thing. So as John is doing this, all of a sudden Jesus comes onto the scene, and John points out to him and says, behold, the Lamb of God who has come to take away the sin of the world. And John points all of his followers, all of his disciples, he points them to Jesus Christ, and John loses everybody that's following him. And they all leave him. And one of John's disciples is troubled by this. One of John's disciples goes up to him in John chapter 3. He says, John, something's happening. You got to change direction because everybody has left you and has begun to follow Jesus Christ. And John says, that's exactly what I was sent into the world for. I'm just doing what God called me to do. He must become greater and greater, and I must become less. Unless that if I'm doing what I'm created to do, people won't see me, but they will see the truth and the life that comes through Jesus Christ. So it is with every one of us. It's not about us. The notion of the gifts, the spiritual gifts that we've been given. Or maybe you think about it, you say, well, I don't even know what gifts I may even have. I hear the term, I hear the word, I hear the language of spiritual gifts, and to be honest with you, it kind of seems a little out there. I don't have any spiritual gifts because I guess I'm not that spiritual. I disagree with you. You've been given incredible gifts. There's things that you do that nobody else can do, there's a way in which you've been knitted together. That's intentional. What you're doing, God's light will shine through so that people will get a picture, will get a glimpse of Jesus Christ. You see, the word that Paul uses for gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, he uses two words to describe what these spiritual gifts actually are. 15 times in his letter to the Corinthians, he uses the words for gifts and predominantly uses these two. The first one is pneumatikos. Pneumatikos. It literally means gifts offered by the Spirit. The other word that he uses even more often is charisma. Charismata. It's where we get the word for charismatic. And the beautiful thing about this is charisma literally means the gracious gift that's given by the Spirit, but not to you, through you. Isn't that amazing? Paul talks about the charisma that works through you. And it's the way in which you do what you do that brings life, that brings grace into other people's lives. They're grace givers. Paul says, each of you has something that you do that speaks life and truth into somebody's life, that you can bring people into a new and into an everlasting life through the way in which you let God's life and his light shine through you. But you've been given a gift. But he says in the first part of his letter, 1 Corinthians 12, the first thing he says is the greatest gift that the Spirit can give us. Make no mistake about it, but the number one gift that you can be given is to be able to come to Jesus Christ. You want to know what the most powerful gift of the Spirit is? Is to be able to believe in a God who is infinite. Paul says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Spirit allows us who are finite to believe and comprehend that which is infinite. Martin Luther says it this way in his explanation of the third article of the Apostles' Creed. He says, I believe that by my own thought and understanding cannot believe in Jesus Christ or come to him. I don't have the ability to do that. It's far greater than my mind can comprehend. But the Holy Spirit, Martin Luther says, calls me, enlightens me, and gathers me, allows me to come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, the one who gives life. Jesus is life. We receive life when we receive that. So the first gift is Jesus. The second gift that creates in us is life. All of a sudden, when we receive that life, our lives are transformed. And this is where it gets really fun. Because it's when we receive Jesus and receive that life, we begin to realize who and whose we are. And when we start to begin to realize who we are, start to be able to look at ourselves in the way in which that God looks at us. We've been created on purpose for a purpose. And when we begin to realize who we are, we begin to understand that God can use that. And we're unleashed into the community. And when we're unleashed into the community, doing what we do, because that's how God created us, people see Jesus. And when people see Jesus, they receive life. And when people receive life, they begin to realize who and whose they are. And when they begin to realize who and whose they are, they are unleashed into the community so that people begin to see Jesus. And they experience life. And they begin to realize who and whose they are. And then they are unleashed into their communities. So people would see Jesus, who would give them life, who would allow them to see who they really are. So they would be unleashed into the community so that people would see Jesus, so that they would receive life and that they would start to understand who and whose they are, so that they would be unleashed into their community, so that other people would begin to see Jesus and they would receive life and they would start to realize whose and who they are, and that they would be unleashed into their own. So other people would see and they would receive, so they would understand who and whose they, so they would be unleashed into there. So people would see and they would receive and they would start to understand who and whose they, so they'd be unleashed. You're getting it right. You see, this is what Jesus is doing. This is the power of the Spirit. It doesn't matter what your gift is. For some people, our gift is incredibly noticeable. And for other people, your gift is incredibly behind the scenes. But it doesn't matter what the gift is. It's the fact that the gift was given to you by the Spirit. For some people, it's the gift of hospitality. For some people, it's the gift of encouragement. For some people, it's the gift of prayer. For other people, it's the gift of wisdom, of knowledge, of teaching, of speaking in tongues, of interpreting tongues. Paul says it's not about what your gift is, but it's what you allow Jesus to do and the Spirit to do with your gift. Because he says in 1 Corinthians 12, a special gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. It's not about you. It's why the church is such a powerful thing. It's that when we come together and we use our gifts, people see Jesus and they receive life and they really realize how incredibly valuable they are and the way in which God can use them to bring people back into a relationship with Him because of how much He's loved the world. That's what He says in John chapter 15. Jesus says in John 15, says there's no greater love than to lay one's life down for one's friends. You're my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. No, now you are my friends since I have told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me. I chose you. And I appointed you to go and to produce lasting fruit. The Father will give you everything you ask for using my name. This is my command, to love one another. Take out your leaves. We started this Roots and Renewal. We had these little acorn seeds. And the acorn seeds were these pictures of these amazing seeds, and we made them into trees on the walls right outside of the worship center. Beautiful picture. Saying, you know, I'm going to go in all in this year. I'm going to trust that God could use me. And these seeds have become sprouts of these oak trees, which grow incredibly slowly. Call me foolish, but I thought we'd have like 6 feet by now. But English major, not biology major. But we're going to see them bloom in a new way tonight, this weekend. I've been doing it all weekend. I would love for you, as we prepare for this baptism, where this little child, Mateo, is going to receive the gift of the Spirit. He's going to be baptized. To write on it, what are you good at? What comes naturally to you? What gets your heart going? What can you do in such a way so that people see Jesus? Maybe you say, well, I don't know. This is just a little bit too far for me. Jesus says, just love people. Greatest gift is to love. Maybe you just write on this love. Maybe you write on this the name of somebody that you've been praying for, that you wish that they would see Jesus so that they could receive life. As we prepare for the baptism, I invite you to write on that. And as you leave in each of the exits, there are baskets that you can just drop them in. And our white trees are going to get incredibly green this week. So see the way in which, when we're connected to the vine, our branches grow. Amen.